The value of long-term credibility. Bianca Boats, Managing Director at Citadel Global. On paper, the United States, US, and South African, SA, economic metrics are not dissimilar, but markets view the two economies in two completely different lights. As such, it is a lot more expensive for SA to borrow from international markets than it is for the US. This is an interesting discussion and reveals a lot about the psychology of markets. Let's unpack the forces at work. Why the yield differential? In headline terms, the US inflation picture is remarkably similar to SA's. US Consumer Price Index, CPI, inflation is running at 4.2%, while SA's came in at 4.0%, a gap of just 20 basis points. Yet, sovereign borrowing costs tell a very different story. The US 10-year Treasury yield sits at 4.51%, while SA's equivalent stands at 8.63%, leaving a spread of 412 basis points between two economies posting near-identical inflation prints. The disparity plainly reflects something more than inflation alone. The more pressing question is what, precisely, that gap is pricing in. You might lean towards economic growth, but it is not that either. SA's annualized gross domestic product, GDP, growth is running at 1.9%, while the US is at 1.6%, even as it remains in the midst of the largest artificial intelligence, AI, driven capital expenditure cycle in history, with hundreds of billions flowing into data centers and chip infrastructure. SA, by contrast, is producing 1.9% growth despite structural economic constraints, no comparable technology tailwind, and a coalition government that is still finding its footing. In that context, the SA number carries more weight than the headline alone would suggest. The fiscal comparison reinforces the point. The US federal deficit is tracking above 6% of GDP, and projections show federal debt reaching 120% of GDP within the decade, under current policy settings. SA's fiscal position is hardly pristine, with debt to GDP still rising, yet on several measures it compares more favorably than is often assumed. The South African Reserve Bank, SARB, has maintained positive real interest rates, while the Federal Reserve, Fed, spent 2 years running at deeply negative real rates before reversing course. On the metrics that central bank credibility frameworks are meant to reward, SA's record over the past 5 years is at the very least defensible, and yet SA remains sub-investment grade, while the US continues to borrow at 4.51% even after its last top-tier rating was removed in 2025. That US downgrade produced almost no market reaction, and the market's indifference to a downgrade may be the clearest indication of what the yield differential is really measuring. The need for credibility. The US 10-year yield is not merely a function of fiscal position or growth. It reflects the depth and liquidity of the world's largest sovereign bond market, the dollar's role as the global reserve currency, and the structural demand for US paper that flows from that status through central bank reserves, trade settlement, and institutional mandates. There is no comparable global bid for SA Rand bonds. The subsidy embedded in US borrowing costs is therefore not priced off near-term fundamentals so much as off economic or fiscal responsibility, and in the medium term that advantage can be regarded as structural, regardless of what the US deficit does. SA's junk status is also doing work that sits apart from current fiscal metrics. Credit ratings absorb institutional history, political risk, and execution credibility, not merely the condition of the present balance sheet. SA's downgrades were shaped by a decade of state capture, ESCOM's near collapse, and broader governance deterioration. The 2025-2026 numbers are better, but ratings agencies move slowly, and institutional credibility, once lost, takes time to rebuild even when the data has improved. Markets are similarly cautious, not because the current numbers are especially weak, but because they want a longer track record before repricing a risk premium accumulated over years of underperformance. Not a level playing field. What this comparison ultimately reveals is that the sovereign credit framework is not a level playing field. It rewards incumbency, reserve currency status and institutional history in ways that are often only loosely connected to near-term fiscal or growth performance. SA is paying 8.63% to borrow in its own currency while posting numbers that, in a developed market context, would generally be regarded as adequate. The US, meanwhile, is borrowing at 4.51% while running deficits that would invite concern from the International Monetary Fund, IMF, in most other jurisdictions. Markets are not blind to that inconsistency. US term premium, the extra compensation or risk premium investors demand to hold long-term US Treasury bonds, has been rising, and demand at the long end, long-term bonds, has drawn scrutiny from the US Treasury's own advisory bodies. Even so, dollar reserve status continues to place a structural floor beneath US borrowing demand in a way that fiscal deterioration alone does not easily dislodge. SA's next move. For SA, the answer is not to replicate what the US has, because reserve currency status is unavailable and ratings are, by nature, lagging indicators. The route to a lower risk premium runs instead through sustained fiscal consolidation, continued monetary credibility at the SARB, and enough consistency in growth and governance to alter the institutional risk assessment over time. The data is already moving in the right direction. However, the yield differential is unlikely to compress meaningfully until the market is persuaded that the improvement is durable. That may seem unforgiving, but it is simply how sovereign credit repricing works when the starting point is a decade of lost credibility. Ends. Author at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global Plus. Posts bio at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global Liftoff, but watch the altitude at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global. What oil price headlines are not telling you at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global. The market is not an algorithmic problem. At Bianca Boats, Citadel Global. What the pump price isn't telling you at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global. Fragile truce built on deep fault lines at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global. Deal or no deal at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global. A consensus to hold at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global. Rising oil prices equals rising inflation and rising interest rates at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global. The case for sub-$16.00 and why it may not last at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global. Trump's January actions reshape global risk at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global. Foreign exchange and financial stability, why South Africa's delisting from FATF's grey list is a strategic imperative at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global. US second quarter earnings season, resilience amid uncertainty at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global. Trump versus the Federal Reserve's independence at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global. Reading the ripples, what drives volatility and why it matters for investors at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global. Market signals matter more than noise. Rand rises amid global policy shifts and investor confidence at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global. Inflation targeting, what it could mean for the Rand and more at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global. Navigating currency risk, strategic solutions for South African businesses at Bianca Boats, Citadel Global. Currency expert shares 5 top pressures on the Rand in 2025. Share on your socials.